Father God, we come before you, Lord. We recognize that we live in difficult times, we live in dark times. You tell us in your word that our times are perilous, and Father, we realize that. We also, Father, know that we live in a culture that is bent on death, because we live in a culture that is seemingly led by the prince of darkness. And Lord, we know that if we belong to you, we are children of the light. So we pray, Father, as we walk about in the culture, that we will continue to reflect your light and your truth, that, Father, we will speak the truth and we will do it in love. Father, we pray that we will season the culture. Lord God, we pray that our nation turns around before it is too late. We pray for the precious lives that are lost day after day, year after year, as they are sacrificed on the altar of convenience. God, forgive us how far we have strayed from where we should be. Open our hearts and our minds today to your word. Guide us by your Spirit. Father, forgive me of my sins. Help me to be your instrument here this morning. We continue to pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we said earlier, the legislature in New York has enacted a legislation that basically makes abortion, murder, legal up until the day or moment, actually, of birth. But I will submit to you that no matter what the law of the land is, the law of God has not changed. God himself has not changed, and he ultimately will be the judge and the avenger. You look around and you think, how could we have fallen so far from where we started? And I don't have a good answer for you, except that we did it bit by bit. Small steps at a time as we moved from the light into the darkness. What we have today is a situation where Satan has unmasked himself. Satan is not hiding in the shadows anymore. He is out in the open, and he is embraced by the majority, it seems, of the culture. Scripture tells us that we will see those that call light darkness and darkness light, good evil and evil good. And my friends, we are in the middle of that today. Satan is in the open. He is not hiding. And people are flocking to him hand over fist. There's a lot of reasons for that, and we'll get into some of that today. Verses of Scripture we want to look at, first of all, comes from the Ten Commandments. God gave Moses standards. Now, these standards were actually part of God's character before, but he codified them with Moses on the mountain. As a matter of fact, the Judeo-Christian principles are the foundation for the laws of the land, of this nation, and of all Western civilization. And this is one of the major tenets of the second Decalogue, the second part of the Ten Commandments, where God talks about how we are to treat each other. And it's very simple. You shall not murder. I don't know how much more elaboration that needs. It's very simple. You shall not murder. And that applies to unborn children as well. Because Scripture talks about later on specific penalties for someone who causes a stillbirth. There's a penalty to pay. As a matter of fact, most states in the Union, if you shoot a pregnant woman and cause the death of her child, you can be charged with murder. I wonder how New York's going to handle that now. You shall not murder. Very simple. Very straightforward. There's a lot of reasons behind that. First and foremost, because God created you. He created me. We are made in the image of God. God has put value on our lives. And you and I do not have the right to take somebody else's life. That is reserved for God and God alone. You shall not murder. It don't matter what the law of the land says. It don't matter what kind of hat you wear. You shall not murder. Let's keep going. Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32. Now, I only have verse 31 and 32 on the overhead there. But I'm going to start in verse 28. Now, actually, if you want to really look in context, I would go back to verse 18, but we're not going to go back that far. But I advise you to read there starting in verse 18. But starting in verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, this letter was to Rome, but it sure looks like it's the United States today. Look at that. That those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Is that not where we are at today? That the culture not only does it, but approves of those who does it. It made me sick when I saw the picture of them standing and clapping for the signing of this article of murder. Oh, it's no big deal. It's the law of the land. Yeah, it is a big deal. It is a big deal. Because Jesus Christ died for those unborn children, He created them just like He created the person that's performing the abortion. But this culture of death goes way, way beyond just that. That's just the most recent and sickening version, a manifestation of it. But we're further down the road than just that. We shoot people everywhere all the time. We cut them. We blow them up. For what? Because they don't look like us, they don't talk like us, they don't sound like us, or they don't do what I want them to do. And we're okay with that. We're okay with that. Oh, we pass all kinds of laws. You can't have this, you can't have that. But guess what? We still find ways to kill folks. Cain slew Abel with a rock. He didn't need a gun. Didn't need a knife. He used a rock. And we do it continuously ever since then. And it's getting worse and worse. And the problem now, today, is the culture accepts it. It's okay. We're going to look at a few things today. First of all, we need to understand that Satan is unmasked. That he's out in the open. He's not hiding in the shadows anymore. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20 says this, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And boy, that's where we're at today, every day that the good Lord sends. If you don't believe me, you turn on the news and that's all you're going to hear. You turn on an advertisement now and that's what you're going to see. I about fell out of my chair the other day over an AT&T commercial. And it's just the first one I saw. I know there's others. But that's what they're saying. Evil is good, and good is evil. They look at you as a Christian who talk about the Word of God, and they say, "Oh, you're a homophobe. You hate people." No, I don't. I hate sin that kills people. But now, Satan has led the culture into the idea that darkness is light. You think about the Israelites, and we've talked about this many times before. How could they just have gone through the midst of the Red Sea? God parted the Red Sea. The Israelites walk on dry land. He closes up the Red Sea, drowns the Egyptian army. He comes down to the mountain in lightning and thunder and pillars of smoke to give Moses the Ten Commandments. And while he's doing it, they're making a golden calf. And you say, how could you do that? Well, guess what? We've got less excuse than they do. We've got the whole counsel of God's Word. Don't stand before God and say you didn't know. Yeah, you do. Because this same Romans chapter 1 says that we are without excuse, because enough can be known about the Creator God from the observation of creation that you don't have an excuse. You're not going to be able to stand before God and say, well, the law of the land said it was okay. That's not going to cut it. Well, I didn't know any better. That's not going to cut it. Yeah, you do. Satan is unmasked. And we as a culture glory in the evil. We glory in the evil. Rather than be sickened by it, we think it's cool. It's great. We got to think that, or why else would we keep doing it? If we were sick of it, we'd stop doing it. But we're not sick of it. We've just started. Cain slew Abel with a rock. Later on, they started using swords and spears. We're a lot better now. We got thermonuclear bombs. We can kill a lot of people. We hadn't started yet. We as a culture live for pleasure. We live for profit, and we live for pride. That's Satan. That's Satan. Because Satan stood and said, I will be like God. What was Satan's fall? Self-centeredness. Pride. You see, Satan was an angel of light. He led the choirs of heaven. But he said, that's not enough. Satan had audience with God. He was in the throne room of heaven. But that wasn't good enough for him. He wanted it all himself. Well, he got it, didn't he? He got cast out. And that's what's going to happen to all who go in his steps. It's going to be the same result. God created hell for Satan and his angels. And anybody that goes there is going to go through the blood of Jesus Christ. But they're going to do it. There's going to be bunches and bunches that do. And they're going to wonder when they got there, how'd they get there? One step at a time, following the darkness. Because it felt good at the time. Because it felt fun at the time. Because it felt profitable at the time. Any number of reasons and excuses, but it's going to send you to hell. That's what it's going to do. We live for pleasure and for profit and for pride. We live as though there is no God. Now you might say, no, they don't, but yes, you do. Because if you believe there was a God, you would fear Him and not do that. Moses asked Aaron, basically, what are you doing? He said, you made the golden calf. What are you doing? Aaron, you're supposed to be in my place. And what did Aaron say? I took all their gold and a golden calf jumped out of the fire. A grown man said that. We live as though there is no God. Well, friends, there is a God. He is long-suffering, but there is an end to His long-suffering. And He will return, and He will be a repayer of evil. You either stand before Him clothed in your own righteousness, or clothed in the righteousness of Christ. There's only two options. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen if you're clothed in your own righteousness. There's only one verdict: guilty and hell. That's it. Satan is unmasked. Secondly, death reigns everywhere you look. Everywhere you look. It's a culture of death, and that is a result of us following Satan. We celebrate murder. We know abortion. It is a, and boy, this makes me sick. Abortion is a reproductive right. No, it's not. It is not. Contraception is a reproductive right. Saying no is a reproductive right. Abortion is not. Now, there may be a few, a very limited number of medical situations where the child, it comes down to a choice between the mother and the child. There might be a few. And in that case, I'd say it's up to the mother and the father. They're going to have to make that call. But almost every case I have ever seen of that, the mother invariably, almost always says, save the child. When I was born back in the Middle Ages, you know, what you laughing for? Medical care was not quite what it is today, and mom had kidney issues. She had toxemia. The kidneys were locking up, and she said that the doctor told mom and dad that it may come down to a choice of the child or you, and mom said, no, there's no choice. You save the child. But nowadays, a lot of times, it's me first, me only. It's not a reproductive right. It is ending the life of a human being. Thou shalt not murder. Death reigns because there's no thought of others, only of self. You know, you got to think, what... People say, well, guns are causing this. No, guns don't cause it. Guns might be the tool that somebody uses, but a gun, listen to me now. A gun has never killed anyone by itself. Doesn't do it. And you got to think, what goes through the mind of somebody who would go down to a business or to a community building or whatever and just randomly start shooting people? Satan is what does it. I don't care how you couch it culturally or psychologically or sociologically, Satan is what does it, because we live in a culture of death. No thought for others, only of self. We're in a culture that is deaf to the cries of the innocent. And I can't think of anyone more innocent than an unborn child. He or she has no voice. And because they have no voice, you can snuff out their life. And friends, do not think for a moment that Satan's culture of death is going to stop with abortion, because it's not. What's going to be next? Oh, you've lived a long life, you're 70 years old, you know, we just need to ease you on out of here. You think I'm kidding? That's where it's headed. Or this person has a mental issue, you know, he or she is a burden on society, we just need to ease them on out. I'm not kidding. That's where we're headed. And then, it's not too far from that to, well, you know, you just don't think right. You don't really fit in society, so we need to remove you from society. It's already been done before, and we're headed back to it now. Don't think that it's going to stop with the unborn. The unborn has no voice, so they're easy to pick on. But there's more coming. There's more coming. Where's the church going to be? Where's the church going to be when that happens? Thirdly, the end is certain. As God judged the pagan nations around ancient Israel, He will do so today. He already has, and He will continue to. Don't think He's turned a blind eye. Don't think He does not know what's going on. He does. Scripture says He is long-suffering, but there is an end. There is an end. And when He says enough, it is over. When the trumpet of God sounds and Jesus Christ splits the eastern sky, it's done. It does not matter what intentions you had or what plans you had. It only matters if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The end is certain personally, and the end is certain on the national level. I don't care who or what party holds the White House and the Congress and who sits on the Supreme Court. Jesus Christ sits on the throne of the universe. And He will have the final say. All the armies that ever marched or ever will march cannot change what He says. Scripture tells us that Satan will amass the armies of man attempting to prevent the will of God. He's been doing it, and He's going to continue to do it all the way to the end. And His plan is to grab you and bring you in with it. Do not buy the lies. Do not fall under the sway of the kingdom of darkness. Don't have itching ears. Satan will scratch them for you and say, just come on, follow me. It'll be all right. It'll be all right. Eve and Adam listened to Satan. It wasn't long after that the first murder occurred. One of their sons killed his brother. And we haven't stopped. We just keep ramping it up. Keep ramping it up. We live in a culture of death, in a culture of darkness, in a culture that is led by Beelzebub. You can't help but live in the culture, but you do not have to be of the culture. We need to stand apart from the culture. How do you do that? Well, you can't do it by yourself because you're going to get run over if you do. You've got to stand in the light of Jesus Christ by His Spirit. It's the only way we're going to do it. Do it individually and do it corporately. We've got to be the salt and the light. Here's the recipe for it. Here's your compass point. This is the recipe. If my people, notice His admonition, my people, us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that's repentance, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. There will be no healing. There will be no turning if we don't do it. Washington is not going to do it. The Democratic Party is not going to do it. The Republican Party is not going to do it. Montgomery's not going to do it. The church has got to do it. And I'm looking at the church. The church is not the building. We are the church. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Father, how badly we want our land healed. How badly we want to see it turn back into light and from darkness. But Father, we can't do that if we're in the dark. So Father God, Lord, just in these next few moments, help us to examine our own heart. Lord God, are we walking in the darkness? Are we walking with the culture of death? Maybe we haven't killed anybody ourselves, but are we partners to the murder of countless people by not being the light, by not being the salt, by not being who You've called us to be? So, Father, forgive us where we have failed You. Help us to walk in the light as you're in the light. Father, help us to humble ourselves, to pray earnestly, and to seek your face and to turn from whatever dark ways we may be following. Lord, and then we have the assurance based on your word that you will hear from heaven, that you will forgive our sins, and that you will heal our land. Father, we earnestly pray for revival in our own lives, in your church, and throughout the community and engulfing this nation. Father God, turn us around before it is too late. We pray, Father, for the countless silent, unborn children who are under the threat of death today because the law of the land allows it. Father God, thank you that your love and that your law supersedes any law of any land. Father, work in our lives. This is your time. We are your people. Help us to follow you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.